Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for the 19th of October. I'm Jessica Dacian-Byrne. This week we look at how obsessions with our self-image and food can make us ill.
I got to the point where I called for help on a suicide helpline.
That's Jenny. Originally from the US, she moved to Switzerland at the age of 22. She suffered from bulimia, anorexia and binge eating. And she's not alone. In Switzerland, around 275,000 people will suffer from an eating disorder at some point in their lives. So what causes these illnesses? Just how far do some people go to control their bodies? And how can it be treated? We look at this in the programme. Jenny and I sat down to talk about her battle. One that you fight alone. Welcome, Jenny, to our studio here in Bern. What kind of eating disorders have you suffered from in your life?
It started mainly as comfort eating and was more like a binging disorder. And later on, after several different types of invasive operations, it turned towards bulimia and anorexia, and then went back actually into a binge eating disorder.
And this is something that's been going on for most of your adult life?
Yes, and childhood. It affected my childhood very, very deeply.
How so?
I was a very overweight child, probably morbid or obese, as they'd say, and didn't really have friends and was made fun of quite a bit. And that, in turn, had an impact on my own psychological view of myself and how I felt about myself.
And more specifically, what kind of up and down journey was it for you? Did you feel like you were recovered and then improved to a level that you felt comfortable, but then what would take you back down again?
I think it took a long time to get to the point of accepting that it was an eating disorder. I was basically, when I first started being treated for anything, it was depression, which it's its own disease or own illness, but it was a result of my weight going up and down throughout the years. And I went up and down between 50 and 100 pounds or 25 to 50 kilos about 6 to 7 times in my lifetime. And that sets you up for a lot of failure.
How do you actually feel when you are bulimic?
There was one situation I know. I was way down in weight, and I was able to wear tighter things, littler things, and I became obsessed with what went in, what went out, how much, what did I look like, is it my stomach flat? I was in this state. It was as if, I was in a high, but it was a high where I was always nervous. Did I eat too much? Do I need to get rid of it? It's not going down. What do I do now? And then, for example, the instance of the flat stomach, I mean, when you're heavier, you don't feel that as much. Whereas all of a sudden, I'm thinking, my stomach, oh, I ate something, it's sticking out. And I got to the point where I was actually ill. But I waited quite a while until I sought medical help because I was on that high. I was thin. Everybody thought I looked great, but I was actually sick.
What might have been a rock bottom point for you?
There have been a couple, but I guess the one that sticks out in my mind the most is when I got to the point where I called for help on a suicide helpline. I don't think I was as near as you'd think, but I just felt, what was I living for? What was I actually doing with my life? Nothing was happening. I was just moving down deeper and deeper into a pretty deep depression. And I got help then and started medication. But it was mainly for the depression. So they also had the nutritionist and other types of people who are there to help. And I guess for a while you feel better, but the things that needed to change hadn't changed. And those are really hard things to change, mainly your self-worth and how you feel about yourself.
Not much is known about these diseases. How can we improve awareness and understanding of this among families and the general public?
What it comes down to a lot is that a child's self-worth is the fundament of what they build on. And when they don't have that self-worth, either they try and find it in different ways, or they try and block out what makes them feel less worthy. And I think eating as well as other types of substances is one of those things that people use to either deaden the feelings or heighten the feelings.
Well, 2 years ago, Jenny was diagnosed with an attention deficit disorder, and this helped her understand part of the cause of her different eating disorders. In the last year, she's managed to keep her weight steady for the first time in her life. Melanie became an anorexic at the age of 16. Now, age 21, she feels she's recovered. For Melanie, accepting help was finally what saved her life. As a form of therapy, she wrote and illustrated a book in German called How I Experienced Anorexia. In it, her anorexia is characterized by a fox. Her illustrations show the fox's fear of even eating an apple. She told Swiss Info journalist Raffaella Rossello why she chose a fox to depict this disease.
The fox is a very sly one, and in our culture we know it as an animal, a nice one, but also with bad sides. And that's what, for me, my anorexia was. It actually wanted to have a solution, to make me feel better and to be loved. That was the goal of it, but it actually went bad. You have to be very sly to go through a day without making the others realize that you have eating disorders. If you get thinner and thinner, you maybe just wear thick clothes so nobody sees how thin you really are. Or in the breakfast, crumble some bread and then you say you have eaten, but you actually did not. There were really bad days when I fainted or when I lost very much of my hair. And that's when I realized that I do not want to follow my fox anymore. But on this time, he was too strong and his rules were very important for him, and he didn't want to let go of his way. I did always think about eating or about how much I did not eat today, and that I can be proud of myself not to have eaten. After a while, my fox just told me every day that food is not good for me and food is really disgusting. My fox told this every hour, every day, every time when I thought of food. And that made me hate food. And that was a big problem, because when I wanted to recover, it was a big problem to eat. I couldn't eat as much as I had to because it was so disgusting for me to eat. My mother, she had a very good idea and began to read while I was eating. And that was very, very wonderful to me, because I was listening to stories and no more concentrating on food. And I had different therapies. I had also therapy in the group and also therapies just to talk, and therapies just for the body, to feel yourself again. It is very important, this point, where your fox says, yes, I want to recover. Yes, I want to find another way to make my human happy. And this point of taking help is a very important one. And it often takes a long time while you are struggling with anorexia until you come to this point where you can decide to go back to life again. With my fox, I reached a few people, and even if it only helped to one, it's good.
And you can see our video with illustrations from Melanie Vigor's book on our website. Now, researchers have carried out a major new study into this affliction in Switzerland. It's the first research to really look at a broad cross-section of the Swiss population, and in fact, is thought to be the most extensive study done worldwide. Journalist Jeannie Wirtz looked into the subject for Swiss Info. She joined me in the studio, and I began by asking her what the study found out.
Basically, the study was a telephone survey of more than 10,000 people between the ages of 15 and 60 in Switzerland, and it looked at three eating disorders, so anorexia, bulimia, and binge eating. What it found was that 3.5% of people in Switzerland, and so around 275,000 people, have had or will have at some point in their lives an eating disorder. What it also found was, I think most people already realize this, that many more women are affected than men. The ratio of men to women was around one man for every three women with bulimia and binge eating, and one to six for anorexia. Also, that anorexia typically starts during adolescence, whereas bulimia and binge eating can start even as late as age 40. And they also can last for a long, long time before they are overcome, assuming you get treatment for them.
And what's the government planning to do about eating disorders in Switzerland?
Well, the Federal Health Office commissioned this study, the research study. It was a prevalence study, which means that its objective was to find out what the situation is now, how many people are affected. But Gabriela Milos, one of the study's authors, said she doesn't actually know how the information will be used at this point, how they'll be going forward. And according to the health office, eating disorders aren't a priority at the moment because they're focusing more on combating overweight and fostering a healthy lifestyle. But that doesn't mean that it won't become a bigger issue in the future.
And is the portrayal of eating disorders in the media helping the situation at all?
Well, stories about eating disorders seem to be popping up all over the place in the press at the moment. Partly that's because there's a new book that just came out, written by a young Zurich woman who suffered from anorexia. And so I think there have been a lot of articles referring to that. Gabriela Milos, who treats patients at Zurich University Hospital, said she felt that press coverage often over-exaggerated the state, that actually there aren't that many people. It's not one in every two people alive who have eating disorders. But what coverage does do is raise people's awareness about the problem. And some people with eating disorders, I think, don't even realize that there are other people out there who are doing the same thing that they're doing. And then they read about it and they think, well, hey, I'm not alone. So I think that the press can have a positive effect in terms of providing information, letting people know that there is someone else who's going through the same thing.
So are there a range of treatments available here in Switzerland?
Yes. There's both inpatient and outpatient treatment. So people who go for outpatient treatment, for example, would go to a hospital, I guess, for a discussion group or for nutritional counseling. If you get to the point where you feel like you really need intensive help, then you can go for inpatient therapy. And they offer everything from nutritional counseling to relaxation therapy, art therapy. There's even a cooking group that's run by the Clinic Wiesholzli so that the people can start to get back in tune with what it means to be eating in a healthy way.
And on a personal note, after researching this piece, what do you feel are the key messages of what you've learned?
I guess I would say that there are two important points to keep in mind. One is learning to separate food from feelings. That's one of the main goals, I think, of recovery from an eating disorder. And the other thing to really realize is that recovery is a process. It's not going to happen overnight, and you have to be patient sometimes.
That was Swiss Info journalist Jeannie Wirtz. That's all we have time for today. For our full coverage on this issue, go to swissinfo.ch. where you will also find links for those who are seeking help. Thanks for listening. I'm Jessica Dacey.